how are we going to be able to open up to what's true when to do that is so excruciating?
It's a great question. Got a couple of things. One is, worship rhythm. It's not, okay, one of the ways I know that is because I've worked like hell to overcome the effects of my childhood and my coercive upbringing in school and everything else. And I think about that, and I think, it's really hard. And I don't have a family. I don't have a regular job to take my time. I've spent so much of my time. I just learned a couple days ago, do you know that grasshoppers lay their eggs underground? That's the coolest thing. I've never seen that before. I've seen 20,000 grasshoppers. I've never, this is how I spend my days. There's a grasshopper, it's poked his abdomen, poked her abdomen down below the ground, she lays eggs, and then she covers it up like a sea turtle. My point is that I've had a lot of time. I have friends who have not had that time, and they can't go there, which is one reason I write, is to sort of speed things up a little bit for some of the people. But and about things being really hard, the central metaphor of the book, I think, is death and rebirth. Okay, I got to tell you a story. Last fall, I got a call from a friend of mine, has been an activist for maybe 3 years, and she's working on pesticide issues. So she called me up one night and said, I can't take this anymore. It's too much. I'm falling apart. Just listen. And she said, you know, we're not going to make it, are we? And I said, you know, I've been waiting for you to say that. The reason I said that is because after I wrote my first book, Listen to the Land, I was becoming friends with Jeanette at the time. I started just crying. I'd break down and cry a couple, three, four times a week just in sob because of what we're doing. A lot of my friends were saying, back off there. Just think about something else for a while. But I had been through enough of the death and rebirth process. I knew I had to keep going. I called Jeanette one day, just sobbing. And I'm talking about how bad things are. And she's just listening. And then I said, we're not going to make it, are we? We're not going to change. And she said, I've been waiting for you to say it. It was the best thing she could have said because she didn't tell me to fight. I died to hope that our culture is going to change. And it didn't kill me. I realized that it's not so much the sorrow, nor even the pain that hurts, as it is my resistance to it. And I don't take it personally. I cry all the time. I mean, I got tears in my eyes right now. And I, you know, coho salmon are not going to die on my watch. It's not going to happen. I will do whatever it takes to make sure that doesn't happen. And I cry about that a lot, but it's not my fault, and I don't have to internalize it. Years ago, a friend of mine tested HIV positive, and he sent me a bunch of literature, and there's one sentence from that that just slapped me in the face, which was eliminate false hope. And I realized that one of the things that kept my mother in the relationship with my father was the false hope that he would change. False hopes blind us to real possibilities, and they bind us in unlivable situations. So one of the things I think is so important to do, for me at least, is to attempt to eradicate false hope. I don't know if I have any hope. It depends. What do I hope for? Do I hope that the culture will undergo a voluntary transformation? No, it's not going to happen. I want it with every cell in my body, but it ain't going to happen. Every environmental activist I know doesn't believe it's going to happen. And what we're doing is we're hanging on by our fucking fingernails. Because our hope is that if grizzly bears can survive for another three or four generations until all this shit comes down somehow or another, they'll be alive, and if they don't, they won't. So I have hope that coho salmon will survive. All my Indian friends say to me, what we're doing is we're trying to hang on. After everything goes down, we're going to be here to tell you how to live. But we're not going to waste our time right now. When you go through, or I can't speak for you, when I went through that place, it made me such a more effective person, an activist, and human being. Because I wasn't afraid anymore, because I was dead. I'm dead. And once you're dead, they can't take anything away from you.